Translation, when the lion travels in the forest with its tail turned upward, all menial animals hide themselves. Similarly, when King Prithu will travel over his kingdom and vibrate the string of his bow, which is made of the horns of goats and bulls, and is irresistible in battle, all demoniac rogues and thieves will hide themselves in all directions. I read the previous verse also. I'm also going to do a couple other verses too. Anyway, so we're back to 22.
Ayam mahim gam judu hey diraja prajapatir vittikara prajanam yolila yajin swasira sakotya bindan samam gam akaro yatendra.
This king, this protector of the citizens, is an extraordinary king and is equal to the Prajapati demigods. For the living facility of all citizens, he will milk the earth, which is like a cow. Not only that, but he will level the surface of the earth with the pointed ends of his bow, breaking all the hills exactly as King Indra, the heavenly king, breaks mountains with his powerful thunderbolt. When a lion travels in the forest with its tail turned upward, all menial animals hide themselves. Similarly, when King Prithu will travel over his kingdom and vibrate the string of his bow, which is made of the horns of goats and bulls and is irresistible in battle, all demoniac rogues and thieves will hide themselves in all directions. Purport. It is very appropriate to compare a powerful king like Prithu to a lion. In India, Kshatriya kings are still called Singh, which means lion. Unless rogues, thieves, and other demoniac people in a state are afraid of the executive head who rules the kingdom with a strong hand, there cannot be peace or prosperity in the state. And thus it is most regrettable when a woman becomes the executive head instead of a lion-like king. In such a situation, the people are considered very unfortunate. I was going to do the following verse, but I'll just comment briefly on this. Certainly we can see that Prabhupada is quite in tune with the defects in our administrative systems in Kali Yuga. And we think of administrative heads, and according to the Vedic system, we think of a king who's, as described right here, lion-like, who should be able to strike fear in the hearts of any rogues or thieves, as we've discussed in previous classes, of how the citizens who are not properly protected by a king creates so many problems. So here, Prabhupada's saying right here that it's very regrettable. And when a woman becomes executive head instead of a lion-like king, how can she strike fear in the hearts of any of the rogues and thieves who feel any type of punitive or any type of punishment will be imposed or inflicted upon them for their misbehavior? They can get away with anything. Of course, there may be women who are administrative posts who are similar to the democratic posts of the president, such as in our modern government, but what good is that? We've already discussed also in previous classes of the failings or shortcomings of such administrations. So I'm going to do a next verse has no purport. I'm going to do the verse after that.
Esho shramedan shatam ajahara saraswati pradurabhavi yatra Ahasidasyahayam Purandara Chitakratuschaname Vartamane.
As the source of the river Saraswati, this king will perform 100 sacrifices known as Ashrameda. In the course of the last sacrifice, the heavenly king Indra will steal the sacrificial horse.
Ishasvat Sadmo Pavane Sametya Sanat Kumaran Bhagavantamekam Arajya Bhaktya Labhatam Alaj Balam Jataj Jnanam Yato Brahma Param Vidanti.
Translation. This King Prithu will meet Sanat Kumara, one of the four Kumaras, in the garden of his palace compound. The king will worship him with devotion and will be fortunate to receive instructions by which one can enjoy transcendental bliss. Purport. The word Vedanti refers to one who knows something or enjoys something. When a person is properly instructed by his spiritual master and understands transcendental bliss, he enjoys life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmabhuta prasanatma nasochati nakankshati. When one attains to the Brahman platform, he neither hankers nor laments. He actually partakes of transcendental, blissful enjoyment. Although King Prithu was an incarnation of Vishnu, he nonetheless taught the people in his kingdom to take instructions from a spiritual master who represents the disciplic succession. Thus one can become fortunate and enjoy a blissful life even within this material world. In this verse, the verb Vedanti is sometimes taken to mean understanding. Thus when a person understands Brahman, or the supreme source of everything, he enjoys a blissful life. Om Jnana Chamaranda Syagarandana Sarakaya Chakshamitami Natasma Shri Gurveha. Mukam Kuroti Vachanum Pangum Lungayati Gurinya Kripa Tamahamadeshi Gurundinatana. This King Prithu will meet Sanat Kumara, one of the four Kumaras, in the garden of his palace compound. The king will worship him with devotion and will be fortunate to receive instructions by which one can enjoy transcendental bliss. Prabhupada explains that if a person is properly instructed by a spiritual master and understands transcendental bliss, he enjoys life. I was thinking particularly of this word of enjoyment, because if there isn't a word that certainly is more embraced within human society, this particular word enjoyment, of course, is one of great relevance to people. Because by nature, the living being is anandamaya vyasad, in which he's meant to experience enjoyment, and he's pleasure-seeking. Therefore, it's an infatuation of all people to experience this enjoyment, this pleasure, happiness. So everyone, every living being, has a particular concern when it comes to the fulfillment of enjoyment. But what is understood here is that in the case of Sanat Kumar and King Prithu is showing here how that one can actually enjoy life, how one can actually get the real enjoyment of life as opposed to the false illusory enjoyment of the material world. Because certainly one is desirous of enjoying, but the failing of enjoyment in the material world is well understood by those who've once experienced transcendental pleasure. That the enjoyment of the material world means is that there's a great struggle in order to maintain that enjoyment. In other words, somebody may desire to fulfill his senses for sense gratification, but to have the facility to fulfill his desires for sense gratification, he has to undergo great struggle in order to be able to achieve it. In comparison to the amount of pleasure he experiences, the amount of enjoyment he actually gets, the struggle is far exceeding the anxiety, the distress, and everything else that he, and the torment he has to subject himself to get that final enjoyment, is far exceeding in relationship to the amount of enjoyment that one actually finally experiences. Enjoyment is actually there in the material world. It's not that it's bereft of enjoyment, but the enjoyment of the material world is called chapala sukha, which is flickering. The enjoyment is there, but it comes, and just as it comes, it goes. Therefore, those who are striving for for enjoyment, working very hard to achieve that, this is a great struggle. Prabhupada very nicely explains this point. I wanted to read a short section from this lecture in the teachings of Lord Kapila, whereby Prabhupada is distinguishing between the spiritual enjoyment, why we exist for enjoyment, and why material enjoyment is the cause of suffering. One may ask why Narayan has created us, why it is we are part and parcel of Narayan, Eku Bahu Syam. Why has Narayan become many? He has created us for enjoyment, Anando Mayo Vyasa. He has created us in the same way a gentleman accepts a wife. If one takes on a wife, he will beget children. A man takes on the responsibility of maintaining a wife and children because he thinks that through them he will enjoy life. In the material world, we see that during the evening a man tries to enjoy life with his wife, children, and friends. Therefore, he takes on so many responsibilities. This is supposed to be ananda, bliss. But because it takes place in the material world, the ananda is converted into something distasteful. In other words, what Prabhupada is saying here is that it is with the expectation of enjoyment, how to increase the enjoyment. In other words, enjoyment, Prabhupada even gives, he oftentimes says, I think he might even say it here, that variety, right, is the mother of enjoyment. The more one increases the facility by which he can expand his enjoyment, the more the variety is there, then his enjoyment increases. So a man, in the same mentality that a man takes on a wife, he begets children, but he accepts the responsibilities to do that, he's thinking that through these extensions, he will increase his enjoyment. I will enjoy with my wife. I will enjoy with my family. But when he accepts the responsibilities of doing that, Prabhupada says right here, therefore, in the material world, it is a perversion, and instead of being ananda, it's converted into something distasteful. Because to get that pleasure, which is there, so many problems are also there. He has to accept the responsibility of it. Of course, Prabhupada is giving us an example of why is it the Supreme Lord expands himself into many, to increase his pleasure. But Krishna is by nature, he's always experiencing enjoyment. Although Krishna expands to increase his enjoyment through his parts and parcels, still, he doesn't have to undergo the struggle. He doesn't have to undergo the problems and the responsibilities. As Krishna says, he has no responsibilities. Namam kamani limpati nami kama palis riha. Krishna says, there's no works that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. Krishna doesn't have any responsibilities in that sense, mundane responsibilities to fulfill. He's free from all responsibilities. He just simply experiences pleasure. But nonetheless, to increase his pleasure, he expands. And the living entities, of course, is understood. Their pleasure, their enjoyment, if they really want to enjoy life, on the spiritual platform, then you have to understand what is the basis for spiritual enjoyment. So I'll continue. However, we can enjoy this ananda when we are with our Supreme Father, Krishna. We are all children of the Supreme Father. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna claims all species of life as his children. Sarva yoni shikontiya murtiya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahad yoniya aham bija pradapita. It should be understood that all species of life of Sanakunti are made possible by birth in this material nature, and I am the seed-giving father. The Supreme Father, Sri Krishna, has created us for his enjoyment, not to create distress. Although we are Krishna's children, we have given up our Supreme Father because we wish to enjoy ourselves independently. Consequently, we are suffering. If a rich man's son gives up his home to try to enjoy life independently, he simply suffers. It is to our benefit to return home, back to Godhead, to enjoy ourselves with our original father, Krishna. This will give us happiness. Krishna is full of all opulence. He possesses in totality wealth, strength, beauty, fame, knowledge, and renunciation. He possesses everything in unlimited quantity. If we return to our original Father, we can enjoy ourselves with Him unlimitedly. It is not that we can enjoy ourselves independent of Krishna. Nor can we say that to enjoy ourselves we have to become one with Krishna. In the material world, our Father gives us our birth, and we are an entity separate from Him. If we are suffering, do we say, "My dear Father, I am suffering. Will you please once again make me one with you?" Is this a very good proposal? Father says, "I have begotten you separately to enjoy yourself. You remain separate and I remain separate. In this way, we will enjoy. Now you are asking to become one with me? What is this nonsense?" The Mayavadis want to become one with the Supreme because they are suffering in the material world. Krishna has created us to enjoy ourselves in His company. But due to our desire for independent enjoyment, we are not doing that. Krishna has created us to enjoy ourselves in His company. But due to our desire for independent enjoyment, we are not doing that. Consequently, we are suffering in this material world, and because we are suffering, we are thinking of becoming one with our Father. In other words, as this example is being given, that Krishna is the Supreme Father, just as the example is given of the man takes on a wife, bears children, increases his pleasure through the extensions of his family members, so Krishna also is the seed-giving father of all living beings, as he explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Aham Bija Pratapita, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. Therefore, our enjoyment, as Prabhupada explains right here, is that He has created us to enjoy ourselves, but in His company. We can enjoy, but in the contact with material nature, trying to be independent from Krishna, then the result is that we cannot experience real enjoyment. We experience only false enjoyment, illusory pleasure, illusory happiness. The pleasure which has a beginning and an end, which Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, that one should not be working hard towards such experiences of pleasure. Of course, the materialist is thinking that this pleasure is the culmination of enjoyment, is the culmination of life, and therefore, being blinded by his lustful proclivities, he is working so hard. This verse explains about the living entity who is working hard, struggling with material nature. He's struggling. It's a constant struggle to experience some pleasure in the material world. Therefore, although the man wants pleasure and he expands to increase his pleasure, the amount of pain that is he has to experience just to get that pleasure. It's like there is that analogy of the material body. How one may think that the material body is given to us for pleasure. Right. So a person is thinking, yes, God has given me this body to enjoy. So therefore, because God has given me this body to enjoy, I will enjoy. I will use it to enjoy to the ultimate point. But although such a foolish person is thinking that God has given me this body to enjoy it, little does he recognize how much pain in comparison there is in the body in comparison to the pleasure of the body. So there's that simple example. I remember Bhakti Chumaraj, he was giving that example once in a Sunday feast lecture. He says, you may take one particular point of your body, and then you may massage your body in that, and have somebody massage your body in that particular point. And therefore they'll be thinking, this is just so much pleasure. So one may experience some pleasure, but if somebody takes a saw and begins cutting at that same point in the body, the pain far exceeds, that one little point far exceeds the pleasure that one gets. Or the tip of the finger. The tip of the finger, we may experience some pleasure with a little tiny tip of our finger. But we may try to put it in so many different places to experience some sensual pleasure by the feeling, by the pleasure of feeling. But take that tip of the finger and compare it to the amount of pain that one experiences when a hammer comes down upon it. that little tip of the finger causes so much pain, so much agony, which it perpetuates itself, an ongoing pain. The black and blue mark stays there for some time. The throbbing is there. The pleasure one experiences is temporary, quite flickering. But the pain far exceeds it. But simply to think to maintain a body for pleasure, yes, there is some pleasure, undeniably so. But to maintain the body for pleasure, one has to accept simultaneously, or maybe subsequently, whatever the case may be, the pain that one has to undergo to get that pleasure. And therefore, one who thinks, so foolishly thinks, yes, this body is meant for enjoyment. This material world is meant for enjoyment. Enjoyment is there. Because by nature, Krishna has created this material world in such a way that we can experience some enjoyment. But to get that enjoyment means we have to suffer great pain. Suffer great pain. It's not exclusive. Nobody has found the remedy to overcome pain. Nobody has found a means to get exclusive enjoyment in the material world. Right. Although everybody is looking for exclusive enjoyment, no pain. Right. Simply to maintain the body for some enjoyment means always pain. Therefore, a man may work very hard, thinking, yes, I want to enjoy this experience. But because he wants to enjoy a woman, therefore he must work. Because he wants sex life, therefore he has to, for this little sex life, so much suffering is there.
Yeah.
Both immediately and of course, concomitantly, the suffering is there. Why? Because he has to suffer the sinful reactions. This is another form of suffering. Those sinful reactions do not go away, but they come in the form of suffering, of pain. So although he may, for that little sense gratification, he's thinking, yes, sense gratification now, but the consequences that are there, the suffering that will come in the future in the form of sinful reactions, means these are, as described in the Nectar Devotion, these are seeds of reactions that will bear fruit. So, or a person might be thinking, yes, I want to enjoy sex life. And even if he's thinking, I want to enjoy sex life, but I'll do it responsibly. Therefore, this is the point the Prabhupada's making here also. He has to accept the responsibility for that. So having to accept the responsibility, there's so much anxiety. I have to do this. I have to do that. I must take care of this. I must make that arrangement. So many arrangements there are, simply for some sense gratification. Therefore, it is understood that one has to give up this desire for sense gratification if one really wants to enjoy. This is the essence of spiritual life. Just like sometimes devotees as well, they may experience within the realm of devotional service of the desire to enjoy devotional service. Even that type of subtle type of desire to enjoy devotional service, just like I was having a conversation with one guest the other day. He was explaining that, he was giving this example, that how when he comes to the, when he thinks of Krishna, that it is very nice, wonderful experience. He says, but every time he has to do some service for Krishna, it puts him in anxiety. So he says, it's very, very hard to think of Krishna when I have to do some service. And he said, this was his complaint. So I was trying to make him understand that if one has a desire to enjoy service, then it is very, very difficult to actually experience enjoyment. If one is thinking, I will do this service, why? Because I want enjoyment. Then if there's no enjoyment, I won't do it.
Yeah.
One cannot experience transcendental enjoyment. One cannot experience real enjoyment of life as long as one tries to maintain an attitude of, first, I am the enjoyer. That is the disease. The disease is to think that the actual intention behind this activity is my own pleasure. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami, in his explanation in the Bhakti Sandhava, Bhajaniya Paramasukha Mata Sasukatva. What was that? Something. Vajaniya Paramasukha Mata Sasukatva. It means that actually that our enjoyment comes in proportion to the degree that we give Krishna's enjoyment. To that degree that we actually do something with the intention, with the willful intention, that this is for Krishna's pleasure, it's not for my pleasure. And then Lord Rishabhdev's instructions, what does he say about the Podhivyam Putuka Yena Satam, Sudhyad Yasmat Bhama Sokam Tunantam? He says that by one who performs austere penances to achieve the divine position of devotional service, then in that state he achieves happiness, transcendental happiness, which is superior to material happiness, which lasts forever, which continues and lasts forever. This is what Lord Rishabhdev instructs his son to, in regards to Tupo Divyam Putraka Yena Satvam, to austerities to achieve the divine position of devotional service, because when one comes to that platform he experiences spiritual pleasure. What are those austerities? What's Krishna saying in the Bhagavad Gita as far as the austerities that you do? Yat karoshi, yat ashnashi, yat jahoshi, ditashi, yat. Is it all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all the austerities that you perform, should be done as an offering unto me? Whatever you do, do it for me. If you're going to make some sacrifice, if you're going to perform some austerity, if you're going to embark on some endeavor, if you want to experience enjoyment, Krishna says, then do it for me. Then you can enjoy. This is the basis of enjoyment. So what the point that is being made here in this particular verse is that when a person is properly instructed by a spiritual master and understands transcendental bliss, then he can enjoy life. This is the basis of real enjoyment. Why? Because in the material world, everyone is thinking, I want to enjoy, and that is his primary impetus, that is his primary motivation. But when one comes to spiritual life, there's a very fine line of distinction between material life and spiritual life, which sometimes is not perceivable. It cannot be recognized. What distinguishes material from spiritual? So many people may claim that they have access to spiritual activities. So many people may claim that they are so-called spiritualists. But what is our understanding? What is the difference between material and spiritual? It's very simple. Prabhupada has given us. What is it? What's the difference between material and spiritual? It's so simple. What makes something spiritual? It's not because we have glassy eyes. A person is spiritual because he has a long hair and a beard and he has glassy eyes, and therefore and he sits with his eyes upraised and all you can see is the whites of his eyes. This is what people used to think about, you know. I remember went to this lecture in 1971 of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi before becoming a devotee. He didn't even say anything the whole time. He just sat there and you couldn't see he just sat there with his eyes rolled up in the back of his head and somebody else talking. Everybody's thinking, wow, he's spiritual. This is spiritual. Everybody was, not the whole time we were there. No, he didn't say a word. Just sat there. This is spiritual. So many people have false understanding of what is spiritual. But spiritual basically means that it's in relationship with Krishna. Therefore, that's why Krishna says to Lord Brahma, he says, whatever you see, if you see it separate from me, know it to be my illusory energy. Know it to be material. That material, he says, because you see it separately, that is my material energy which is causing you to see it separate from me. Therefore, nothing is separate from me. Nothing is separate from me. You are able to see it separate from me because of my material energy. That's why you're able to see it separately. But it's my material energy which is causing you to see it separately. Therefore, nothing is separate from me. Spiritual means to see everything in relationship with Krishna. Therefore, a devotee's perspective on spiritual is that everything has a relationship with Krishna, and when he sees that everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure and everything is used for Krishna's service, that is what Rupa Goswami instructs in his teachings. Rupa Goswami is instructed that his renunciation, a person's renunciation, is not complete if he rejects it without understanding its relationship with Krishna. But a person's renunciation is complete, complete renunciation, when he sees everything's relationship with Krishna, and therefore uses it for the service of Krishna. That is superior. That is the platform of which a Vaishnava, a devotee of the Lord, is able to experience spiritual happiness. And but when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master, it is understood that his spiritual life begins. That is the beginning. Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi by Bhakti at the beach. His spiritual life begins because the seed of devotional service is planted. Because this is only through the medium of a devotee can one actually offer something to Krishna. It is by the mercy of a devotee. We may try to offer to Krishna directly, but Krishna says, no, first you must offer to my devotee. Therefore, of course, it is understood that somebody may, with a desire, he may offer something to Krishna. And Krishna recognizes the sincerity of purpose because he's approaching him. But the result of this is that Krishna will bring him to a devotee by which he can actually render devotional service to Krishna. Therefore, it is understood that the spiritual master, is explained right here, gives the means by which one can actually enjoy life, begin spiritual enjoyment. Because only by rendering service to Krishna, only by offering everything to Krishna, can one actually experience the happiness of spiritual life, the enjoyment in spiritual life. Just as we say that the enjoyment comes by variety. Enjoyment means between many. The enjoyment increases between many. Just as it is understood that it probably gives the example that one may go and he may enjoy a particular beautiful pastoral setting, a picturesque scene. It may be very nice, but his enjoyment increases when he goes and brings somebody to see it. See this wonderful thing? Isn't it beautiful? And he brings more people and more people. Then the enjoyment increases more and more as the more people participate. The enjoyment increases. Therefore, we see in this principle that how Krishna has created living entities. Of course, we understand that the creation of living entities never took place, but nonetheless, you're eternal. But nonetheless, the living entities exist unlimitedly for the pleasure of the Lord. And the more living entities that are participating in the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more living entities who are engaged in rendering service to the Lord, then Krishna's pleasure is ever increasing and expanding. That is how it increases. Prabhupada gives the example of just as a husband, he lies waiting for his wife to awaken to enjoy. And therefore he is anxious for his wife to awaken. So in the same way, the Supreme Lord is anxious for the living entities who are suffering in the material world to awaken from their slumbering condition and to once again to return to him and for their real enjoyment and pleasure. So the more the living entities are awakened to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the more the Lord's pleasure increases. This is how the Lord increases his pleasure. Although he doesn't experience distress, he doesn't experience anxiety, material anxiety. Still, because, as Prabhupada also explains in the Bhagavad Gita, this one verse of how the Supreme Personality of God had expanded himself into many for his ever-increasing spiritual bliss. There's one purport. I can't remember the exact verse in which he describes that. But we see that it probably uses the word the ever-increasing spiritual bliss. Krishna experiences ananda, a pleasure, but it's ever-increasing. It's ever-expanding. So what is the basis of that ever-increasing pleasure? The more the living entities are rendering service and giving him pleasure, he experiences pleasure. But the wonderful thing is that the more the living entities give pleasure to the Lord, the more the pleasure the living entities experiences. They experience themselves. Our pleasure increases to the degree that Krishna's pleasure increases. This is a wonderful science when we understand the nature of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Because when we understand that Lord Chaitanya's pleasure will increase the more the living entities are awakened to devotional service, then we see the basis by which our pleasure can increase. That is the platform by which we become more and more enthused and inspired and enlivened when we see more and more living entities becoming aroused in devotional service to Krishna. Why? Because Krishna's pleasure is increasing. That's natural. It's understood. When Krishna's pleasure is increasing, then our pleasure can increase because we're parts and parcels of Krishna. So how to be a part of that? How to be a part of that spiritual experience? To experience real enjoyment. This anandamaya vyasa that every one of us are hankering for. But Lord Chaitanya has given us the formula. He says that this is the pleasure, this is the enjoyment that we're all hankering for in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. The real pleasure, the real enjoyment that everyone is are hankering for. The materialists, they're hankering for enjoyment, but they can't get it. They get their chapala sukha. They get their flickering enjoyment, which comes and goes. And they have to get the anxiety and the struggle that they have to do to get that enjoyment. But if one is looking for ever-increasing enjoyment, the enjoyment that every one of us are hankering for, then Lord Chaitanya says, participate in his Sankirtan movement. This is the ananda. This is the pleasure which we're all hankering for. This is the real enjoyment, that upon once experiencing this enjoyment, one will actually lose his taste for material enjoyment. Because only by losing our taste for material enjoyment, we'll be able to give up the suffering of the material world. As long as we have a taste for material enjoyment, and as long as we want to enjoy the material world, then we have to accept the suffering that comes with it. As long as we think this material body is meant for enjoyment, then we have to accept all the pain that comes as well, along with that enjoyment. That is Krishna's perfect arrangement. It's his perfect arrangement. You want to enjoy? Fine. You can enjoy. But for all that enjoyment, take the suffering. But if you want the real enjoyment that you're hankering for, then participate in the Sankirtan movement. That he's beckoning. This is the enjoyment. Please, just participate. Because his enjoyment increases, our enjoyment increases. And the result of not experiencing that enjoyment is only due to the fact that we're not participating. It's that simple. Everybody can jump in. Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, therefore it is explained that Lord Chaitanya was the most munificent incarnation because he freely distributed it and he didn't make any discrimination. No discrimination. When Lord Chaitanya says, no holds barred, break open the storehouse of love of God and distribute his conscience profusely to everybody, he meant nobody was restricted. Everybody can participate. Everybody can enjoy. Those who can experience it are those who jump in. I just like a devotee goes out in Sankirtan, right? What happens? If we don't do it, so much anxiety, so much mental torment. But when we finally jump in, what happens? When we actually jump in and surrender, what happens? Now, of course, it may be rare and fleeting experiences sometimes for us in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement to really throw ourselves and jump in. We're always holding back. Well, if I jump in and I'm always just simply sitting in expectation of the anxiety that will result of having to jump in. We're always holding back. Lord Chaitanya says, jump, jump, jump. And I say, no. This is the thing Prabhupada says, chant, chant, chant. He was a can't, can't, can't. Can't, just chant. No, can't. Why? Bhogai shaya prasakanam taya pate chaitasa. We obviously have a kubuliya samadhava dhinte. Because we're being too much attached to sense gratification, we can't chant. Sometimes we even see it, but doing too much addicted to sense gratification, it becomes even difficult to chant Hare Krishna. This is what material sense enjoyment does. This is what sense gratification does. It takes away our determination for spiritual life. You can't even chant Hare Krishna. So, therefore we can see that Lord Chaitanya is meant to experience an ever-increasing enjoyment, and we can increase it for him. We can increase his pleasure. We can increase the pleasure of the spiritual master by participating. Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nitya Gita Vadita Vajamana Sodasena. Just as we chant every morning in the prayers, the Guru Vastakam prayers. spiritual master is always chanting the names of Krishna. He's gladdened by participating in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is our understanding. Means to increase the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya. And the way that we can increase the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya is by preaching. Distributing the holy name, giving others the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. Then, Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam. That we all experience some pleasure. That pleasure, that superior enjoyment is only available in spiritual life. It's not available in material life. Material life, the enjoyment is hackneyed and stale. And for those who are thinking that, yes, I can enjoy myself. But the wonderful thing about Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, it is a collective endeavor by which we can enjoy together to experience the pleasure of Sankirtan. Means we can do it together. That's the wonderful experience. Sankirtan means together. Therefore, we can see that how when one works together cooperatively to satisfy Lord Chaitanya, how there is a certain amount of pleasure. Just like I was experiencing, just a glimpse the other day, I was saying to one devotee how wonderful it was just to see everybody doing something together for once. Right? When we were all folding and stapling the newsletters, the whole temple was doing it. You know, I was thinking, this is actually really enlivening. It's really enlivening. You know, everybody's, you know, I even saw people down here doing it that I've never seen sitting in the temple during that period of time. For a long time. I was trying to think, what happened? Well, maybe something must have happened to inspire this or these individuals to come down to participate. Maybe Bhagavatam class doesn't seem to be the source of inspiration to come down and participate. But nonetheless, because everybody was participating and doing something that was going to increase Lord Chaitanya's pleasure, it was really ecstatic. It was enlightened. Well, that's what Sankirtan is meant to be. Sankirtan is meant to be a collective endeavor to increase the pleasure of the Lord. We all are meant to participate in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And when we go off in this way and that way, and everybody's doing this and doing that, everybody's doing their own thing, you know, it's like, where's the Ananda? And we think, I'm doing my own thing because there's some pleasure, I'll get out of it. But the pleasure's right there. The kirtan is right there. Kirtan is right there. Mangalarti, worshipping the deities, worshipping the pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada, that's the pleasure. It's the nectar there that we're all hankering for, and everybody's off going, two people in the temple room. But the pleasure's here, in the association of devotees. But I gotta do that, I gotta do that, I gotta do that. So many things we have to do. Or I gotta go take some rest. I gotta go to sleep. But this, I've been meditating on this for a long time. I've been meditating on when will I see the day when every devotee who's living in this temple is at Guru Puja. Maybe the only devotees, of course, are those who are cooking in the kitchen. They have to worship the deities. But when will I see the day that every devotee who resides at this temple at a particular point in time is in the kitchen? I was thinking. Maybe, I don't know, that's my desire for sense enjoyment, I have to admit. But I was thinking that would give me great pleasure. Great pleasure. Now, if that's a material desire, then please expose it. But I'm hankering for the day. I'm hankering for it. I'm hankering for the day when I see every devotee who's 5-6 feet of floor place upstairs to sleep is willing to come down and put 2 feet on the floor in front of Srila Prabhupada and chant Jai Prabhupada. I'm hankering for the day. Because I haven't seen it for months and months and months. But that pleasure, that enjoyment is spiritual. And the more we feel ourselves doing these things together, glorifying the pure devotee, glorifying the deities, and participating in Sankirtan, we can experience pleasure. That's our pleasure in spiritual life. Because it's for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, it's for the pleasure of Radha Gopi Balava that we're participating in that enjoyment. That's what Prabhupada says right here in that reference and the purport. Krishna has created us to enjoy ourselves in His company. But due to our desire for independent enjoyment, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. So anyways, certainly we can see how the collective endeavor for satisfying the Lord will increase our own pleasure. It will even increase our pleasure to the point that we'll actually, as Lord Chaitanya says, it's the nectar that we're all hankering for, that once we get another taste of that, if we get a shot in the arm of that, we might even want to do it some more. Imagine doing that once. It might even create an inspiration or an impetus for everybody to do it again. We might even be able to do it two mornings in a row. Everyone would be thinking, wow, this is actually pretty nice, seeing so many devotees in the temple chanting, participating in kirtan. This is pretty nice. I'm ecstatic. Maybe I'll come tomorrow too. Of course, we all know that due to the influence of the time factor, things have a tendency to erode. Sometimes persons have to come back and to remind us. That's the nature of the material world. Therefore, sometimes when Krishna says, yada yada hi dhamma siglani bhavati bharata, when there's a general decline, then I have to come myself to put everything in order again. But sometimes Krishna sends his representative to put everything in order again. Because we have a tendency to forget. We have the tendency to forget how wonderful it is. That's why we left the spiritual world. So we need to be reminded. And this is all meant for being reminded about Krishna. Being reminded of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Being reminded that we're parts and parcels of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And the pleasure is being a part of this movement. This is the pleasure. There's no pleasure in this world, anywhere in this planet, at this point in time, which can exceed the pleasure of being a part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. It can't be found. It can't be found. And all we have to do is take it. Lord Chaitanya is so wonderful, he didn't even make any other press upon, any other demand. He just said, take it. Only a fool would reject, especially once having tasted it. Only a fool. So this is real enjoyment. This is the enjoyment that Prabhupada is talking about, that one gets on the spiritual platform. So this certainly is a way by which we can enjoy life, by taking instruction, guidance, and increasing the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So, any questions or comments? Kaloka Vrindavan. Generally, when I'm here, I perceive that most of the devotees, practically all of the devotees, come from Mangalarti. When I'm here, because I have to go shake everybody out of the sleeping bag sometimes, remind everybody. There's a few offenders, but it's like sometimes everybody thinks, well, yeah, I'll attend the morning program. I'll go to Mangalarti. No, yeah. The irony of it is, as soon as Mangalarti is over, it's like a vacuum. Like it was, like the door. When the door opens, it's like there's a vacuum outside in the hallway, and it sucks everything else. You know, when a couple of pujaris have to leave to go into the pujari room, you know, to get ready to worship the deity, they open up the door, and the vacuum on the outside is kind of. Before you know what I'm saying, Jai Om Vishnu Pad, but I'm watching you. Everybody's just getting sucked out of the room. Morning program means, yeah, I'll show my face at Mangalarti. Of course, Tulsi, you know, I already paid my dues. I already went to Mangalarti. I fulfilled my obligation. And then when it comes japa time, the temple room is completely empty. Everybody's who knows where. And then I go upstairs and go to the morgue on the third floor, pull out the drawers and see all the corpses. Well,
Well, therefore, that person should. How much should we advise? It's simply based upon how much that person is seeking our advice. That has a lot to do with it. You know, if somebody actually wants to dovetail their propensities, then dovetail means is that they're taking some direction as to how to fulfill their propensities at the same time, not to give up their spiritual pursuits. You know, dovetail means for the satisfaction of Krishna. So one has to be very, very careful. If he gives up the basic spiritual practices, then he might, in the name of dovetailing his propensities, he might be just pursuing his own personal interests and lose sight. Therefore, purity is the fourth, and it's by participating in these basic spiritual practices that which keeps us on the right track. Otherwise, you know, part of your question was just asking like this: we see sometimes people who go forward to dovetail their propensities, they become neglectful of these spiritual practices. So, how do we advise them? Is we should advise them in such a way to encourage them: no, don't become neglectful of these spiritual practices. Don't become neglectful of your rounds. But sometimes we see the particular individuals as well that, you know, it's understood that everybody has desires and everybody sometimes, you know, that not everybody can come up to that standard. So what can one do? If they can't come up to the standard, they can't be forced. Therefore, they should be directed in such a way. The medicine has to be prescribed according to the physician, according to the extent of the disease. Therefore, the spiritual master, he has to become the expert physician to prescribe the medicine according to the extent of the disease. If the disease is extremely severe, he may have to give a particular prescription according to the severity of the disease. And he may have to say, well, if all you can do is just chant your rounds and live outside of the temple, then at least just chant your rounds. He may have to prescribe that. But his duty is to prescribe that, but at the same time try to give the direction to bring them into Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, to engage them in Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. Right. Because one is thinking that, yes, I'll just simply chant my rounds, but unless they're an instrument to Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, it becomes very difficult to simply to maintain one's rounds. The influence of the external energy is very overwhelming, and without the association of devotees, what is participating in Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement means? We're doing it in the association of devotees. And if we don't do it in the association of devotees, basically what we're saying is, well, it's okay, I'm strong enough myself to take on the material world. I'm strong enough myself. I've got the order of my spiritual master. He's told me to just chant my rounds and do what I can for Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement so I can move freely throughout the material world and be fixed constantly in that. That's a very elevated platform to think that I can just simply, you know, dismiss the association of devotees as something that's not very important at this particular point. And it's difficult, huh, Sidharam? It's difficult, isn't it? I don't know, sorry, I did this to you once before. I don't mean to embarrass you. I mean to actually recognize you, give you recognition that it's your glory that you've come to realize that, and now Krishna has made you once again a bright-faced effulgent devotee because of taking shelter of the Vaishnavas. Yes. Yeah, I remember that one. I remember that. The conversation. Dr. Rob? Chant his name directly, but the name becomes effective and potent when it's given by the devotee. The devotee is giving the holy name. The devotee of the Lord is extending, here's the holy name. And then when he hears the holy name from a devotee, then when he glorifies Krishna, having heard it from the devotee, then Krishna The Prabhupada even explains that in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, that when one receives the Hare Krishna mantra from the spiritual master, then his potency increases.
Right.
So chanting his name and doing any other type of service, is we're not doing it directly, we're doing it through the medium of the devotee who is engaging us in that way. It is his, he's extending that. So one might say, well, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm doing this particular thing, but how have we gotten access to that except by the devotee? How have we gotten access to the book? How have we gotten access to the instruction? Somehow the devotee, Srila Prabhupada, may have extended himself and introduced others to Krishna consciousness, and by some way they're chanting Hare Krishna. But if they want to make further progress in spiritual life, then they must come accepting a spiritual master to mold their lives solely around the service of Krishna. Right. To mold their lives completely. Then that is Krishna's arrangement. So when we say, why did Krishna make that arrangement? Krishna made that arrangement so that one could receive the direction and how to go back home, back to Godhead, by sending his devotee, the representative, and by the devotee who engages others in the service of the Lord. Then certainly we can see that the devotee who gives such direction, gives such guidance, he becomes the Lord's representative or ambassador in the material world. And therefore, by his preaching, by his instructions, by his example, so many people can be attracted to Krishna's service. That's how to attract. That's how the Lord has his devotee attract people to his service. So this is the means whereby one tries to approach the Lord directly. Then, of course, Prabhupada in so many different places explains the failure in approaching the Lord directly is that one simply creates his concoction on his own whimsical account and offers it in the name of the Lord as service to the Lord. But yet, he does so many other things for his own sense gratification and offers it in the name of the Lord. Therefore, the going through in the simple session means that one has to take guidance, one must take direction, one must be trained. One is properly initiated and trained by a bona fide spiritual master. Immediately he becomes a Brahmin. He becomes, develops all of the miracle qualities. Both the training, instruction, and the initiation must be there to come to this, to that platform. So that's certainly, there are many, many explanations for that. But basically, that's one aspect of. We can't do anything without hearing it or receiving it from a devotee. It is the mercy of the devotee by which we can actually approach the Lord. How would we know about Krishna? How would we know about the Holy Name? And if we hear the chanting of Hare Krishna from a non-devotee, then it has no effect. Milk touched by the lips of a serpent has no effect. If a non-devotee delivers it, or is that, that also that verse of one who receives a mantra from a non-devotee, then it will not bear any effect if he receives that mantra. What's that verse? Nishpulamata. I forget that verse for some reason in my mind. But it has no effect. Therefore, this is Krishna's way for expanding the devotional service within the material world, is by through the medium of a devotee. Well, to get more out of chanting means we get more service, because that's why we should be chanting. Because chanting means, Krishna, please engage me in your service. So if you want to get more out of chanting, that's what we want, is more service. So becomes sometimes very difficult if we don't have the proper attitude by which we're approaching the Lord in our chanting as an opportunity to increase our service to Krishna. Therefore, sometimes it may be very, very difficult to get more in the form of what you're implying is more pleasure, or to more, or more satisfaction, or peace of mind, or realization. These things are byproducts, certainly, that one experiences. There's so much pleasure found in the words, two syllables. There's this prayer by Rupa Goswami, the two syllables, Krishna. There's so much pleasure to be had. But that pleasure is experienced by, on the spiritual platform, by the devotee who's completely submitted himself to the holy name of the Lord. Completely surrendered himself to the holy name. That means that he approaches the holy name in total submission, that yes, I simply want to be your servant. So, therefore, to get more out of it, in chanting Hare Krishna, we have to sometimes beat ourselves into that submission. And we may not have that spontaneous attraction to submit ourselves to the holy name constantly, and we see that we don't by the mere fact that our minds are all over the universe whenever it comes time to chant Hare Krishna. Or we're thinking about so many other things, and then we catch faint glimpses on occasion of what it means to hear the holy name. So if we really want to get more out of it, then we have to simply, Prabhupada says, we have to chant the holy name. It's not simply chanting, but it's the quality by which one chants. And the quality is simply like the child who's crying out for its mother. Helplessness. Total submission. Knowing nothing else. That actually I'm taking shelter of the holy name. Therefore we may see that the rambling of the mind may go on. So many thoughts may enter into the mind. But this is the opportunity which is given us at this particular point, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, to submit ourselves to the holy name and depend on Krishna to make the arrangements. Depend on Krishna to rectify the situation. We're, by nature, we're helpless children, and therefore the quality of our chanting should be that, just like that. Yes. It's very difficult if you don't. But the thing is that we have to be intelligent enough to examine that those things that by which we've submitted ourselves in the past, with the attempt to become peaceful, become happy, the failures that they've produced in our life should at least give us enough impetus to try submitting ourselves to the holy name. Well, when it comes to the realization that these things are not sufficient in and of themselves to provide what I'm looking for, therefore I'm approaching the holy name of the Lord with that attempt that, yes, why not submit myself? Why not? We have to be sufficiently experienced in that sense. And sometimes that's required, sufficiently experienced that these things are not sufficient to satisfy me. Therefore, that will be my impetus to take shelter. I have to try. What can be done? It may not be any pleasure, but the point is that if one actually approaches it in that way, then Krishna understands the heart. He understands the purpose. He understands the intentions and sincerity. And Krishna helps. That is the one thing that the devotee has that the non-devotee doesn't have. That is one thing that the devotee has that all other transcendentalists don't have, so-called transcendentalists. That the devotee has Krishna's help. Nobody else does. So Krishna will help. We have to have faith and that takes time. The development of that faith, because the cultivation of that faith takes time. But nonetheless, we have to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere. So you may not have complete submission to the Holy Name. You may not have complete faith in the Holy Name. These things, may, you might say, I'm devoid of these things. But nonetheless, both by hearing about the potencies of the Holy Name, and also by seeing in the lives of others who have taken shelter of the Holy Name, that example is also a source of impetus. We have to see somehow that there are other examples of people who are taking shelter of the Holy Name, and their lives are exemplary. That also, we need that something very close to home. We don't see that. That's why the association again of the devotees is so important. It brings it more close to home. Yes, it's actually getting late. We can continue this conversation afterwards, because today's Saturday morning. I know it's Memorial Day weekend, and the second time devotees are anxious to bolt for their Ananda Buddhivadana. So we can continue on. I'll go to Scarpa.